Yeah, man, I like it. What will it take? What will it take for somebody to come to the Lord? You reckon you have to have something else? Nah, we still got Calvary. We don't need anything else. There's plenty there at Calvary to still save everybody. I thought, you know, we think about people that's unsaved. How many times have we said, I just wonder what it's going to take? Well, there's nothing else to be done. Death does not shake people no more. If somebody dies, it don't matter. It used to be it shook people, but people so hard anymore, it don't shake them. Used to be it would make people think, but nowadays I don't think sickness don't change people. Sickness don't change people. There's more cancer now than ever before, more suffering than ever before. Every family's affected by it, and families are hard. Minds are hard. Hearts are hard. You know? What will it take? What will it take? It's going to take the gospel. That's all it's going to take. The Lord ain't going to do nothing else. He done everything necessary to save the world. He thought we was worth it. Where you at, Jonathan? I love that phrase. He thought we was worth it. Wait a minute.
Even knowing who we
were. Yeah. He thought we was worth it. Wait a minute. That don't make sense. But he did it. Ain't you glad? Man, I love it. I love it. All right. Now, we got another slide here in a minute. We're not going to show it right now. I want the screen blank. Don't want no scripture up there. Need to carry your Bible. We're not going to show you no scripture on Sunday night. We're going to have to carry your Bible. All right. We're going to make you read your Bibles tonight. All right. Turn to Micah. All right. It's somewhere in the Old Testament. All right. I just now had it and I lost it. And we'll have to sing the song to find Micah. Huh? All right. Who wants to stand up and sing it so everybody can find it? Huh? Micah. If you got a Scofield Bible, probably on page 950 is where we'll be if you got a Scofield Bible. All right. Don't know if you got something else. I don't know how to help you. All right. I don't know how to help you. All right. 950. All right. Tell me when you're there. All right. We'll give you some thoughts tonight. The first part of the message is important. The middle of it's important. And the end of it is very important. All right, and I want you to listen carefully. This is for everyone that is in the sound of my voice tonight. Everyone that is on live stream, everyone that's in this sanctuary, those in the nursery, those that went to the bathroom, it's for everybody tonight. All right? Everybody understand that? If everybody understands it, say, we understand, preacher. All right. That wasn't everybody. Let's see if I can get everybody to participate at least one time before I die. All right. I understand, preacher.
I understand, preacher.
Thank you so much. Now I can die a happy preacher. Okay. Let's pray together. Father, I come tonight and boy, you're wonderful. Boy, I sure have enjoyed the congregation singing tonight and this morning. Lord, I've enjoyed the music. Lord, I loved them playing Just a Closer Walk with You. Boy, that was good. And then all the playing tonight. And then, Lord, this special singing has thrilled my soul. Thank you for warming my heart. Thank you that you love me like I am. I don't understand it, but thank you that you love me enough, thought me worthy. Lord, I'm nothing but filth and a wretch, and you saved me. Thank you for that. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, we want to give our people something tonight that's not only going to help them, but it's going to move us out. God, our people's in a sad shape. Oh, God, I pray tonight for the Christian that's discouraged that you would encourage him tonight. For the Christian that's living in sin. That's walking away, that's dabbling where they ain't got no business. I pray that you convict them tonight of their sin. Lord, for the ones that's lazy, God, I pray that you might stir them tonight, that they won't be lazy and slothful no more, that they'll be workers. Lord, for those that are serving, Lord, I pray that you'd help them refocus, that they won't look at the job, but they'll look at you. And Father, I pray tonight for those that's weary. Lord, we get weary in this body. We do. Our mind gets weary. Lord, you even was weary, and you went and rested. And Lord, our rest is in you. Lord, sometime we got to pull away and rest. That's okay. But Father, I pray tonight that we as a church might be on fire for you, that we might be exactly what you want us to be, that we'll quit all this foolishness of the past, that we'll set aside and be Christians the way you said. But no matter what anybody else thinks, Father, that we might be pleasing to you. And Lord, if there is someone here tonight that's lost, you know, I don't, but you know. And Lord, no doubt a congregation of this size, there is somebody that's lost, or they're acting like you're saved, acting like you're a church member, but they're deceived and deceiving. I pray tonight that you might break all that away and all the walls down and clear the mind, that people might see the truth about themselves. Lord, for those who belong to the church that don't have no desire to come, I pray, Lord, that you'll make them sick tonight. And I pray they'll be sick at their stomach and they'll not rest. And I pray that you let everything fall apart that they try to do this week, that everything they try to do messes up. And until they desire to walk with you, I ask, Lord, for chastening hands on them. And Lord, I ask for a chastening hand on me. I ask you to chasten me and put me in a place I need under discipline, that I might walk the way you want me to walk as well. Lord, we don't have time for games. Help us to be serious tonight. Help us to look at your word and help us to live what you said we could live. And we're going to thank you and praise you for it all. Lord, I need a touch. I can't do it. I'm a wretch. I'm filthy. I know it. Cleanse me, Lord. I'm sorry. I want to do better. Lord, help me do better. Lord, instead of cleaning the cobwebs, I kill the spider that keeps building them in my life. Help me to be what I need to be tonight. Give me power, I pray, in Jesus' name, and amen. I think sometimes when we come to church, we think that church is a luxury, which it is a blessing. It is a luxury. It is a help. But I want you to understand that when you got saved, there's some things that's required of you that the Bible lays out. He saved you, and he didn't save you to go your own way. He saved you out of your way. He saved you in spite of yourself, and he gave all he had, left heaven's glory, and come down and died on a rugged cross, then to come in your life and rule and reign in your life, and not to ask your opinion, not to ask your permission, but to come and rule in your life, because he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he don't have to get you to cooperate because you want to. He tells you that you're required to do some things. Now, everybody here has worked on jobs. You know, you kids, there's even jobs y'all have done. If y'all ever mowed grass or anything for anybody, or there's things required. If you cut grass for me, if you cut my front yard, I cut it a certain way, and that would be required of you. And if you don't do it, you'll do it again. And that's the way, because that's required. That's the way I do things, all right? I go to a job, and I said, all right, I'm a machinist. What do you want me to do? We want you to do this, okay. That's what's required. Everybody understand that? You know that. There's things that's required of us tonight that there's no discussion about it. This is what you're required to do. It's what you're required to do. That's the basic. Would that be simple? That's the basic. Now, anybody that works a job ought to do what's required. And if you're a Christian, then you ought to do more. If you're a Christian and you work a job, you ought to do everything that's required and more.
Yes, sir.
Because it's a testimony for the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
All right? If others want to say it, that's fine. You ought not.
That's right.
All right? If others want to take a lot of breaks, that's fine. Let them do. But you ought not. Because you're representing the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's things that's required of us. Well, it's not just out in the world, it's in the church, and then it is out in the world. There's things that's required that don't change, that don't change. So we're going to look at some things tonight, and that's what we're going to preach on: what is required. What is required? Well, the Bible says require, or the dictionary says the word require means to demand, to ask, as of right and by authority. We require a person to do a thing. And we require a thing to be done. That's the definition in the dictionary. Can I read that again? Require, to demand, to ask, as of right and by authority. That means somebody that requires of you something, they have the authority to require it. Everybody understand what I'm saying? To demand that you do it. If that's your job, then you're demanded to do that. See, we've lost that all across the board. We've lost that in our secular world, and we've lost that in the spiritual world. We've lost that in the secular world, that everybody wants their rights. If you work for me, I laughed. I love what Rick Vance said in the prayer room. He was telling them boys this morning. How many, did any of you boys get fired this morning in class? All right, he was firing somebody. You know, you do tell somebody to do something, don't believe you're fired. Bye. Well, no argument. That's what I told you. You didn't do it. Bye. You're gone. Yeah. Huh? Now, the Lord ain't that way. The Lord is patient. I said, if you work for me, if I had a business and I told you that you had to do a certain thing at a certain time, you didn't do it, you would not get, you may get a second chance, but you would not get a third. You would not. You would not. And it depends on what it was if you got a second one. You know, I'm a stickler for on time. If you're late more than once, go find you another job. Yeah, he's in his right mind. He knows. What I want you to understand, and you say, well, that's hard. Listen, the Lord requires something. Is there anybody that's got more authority than the Lord? Anybody. He's the greatest. And there are some things that he says in his word that he requires. That means he demands. Now, he saves us freely. Gives us eternal life. He forgives our sin. Promised to supply all of his benefit packages out of this world. Think about that. Think about that. His retirement package is wonderful. Huh? His health care is great. Ain't nobody heals like the Lord heals. He said, I'll supply all your needs. You'll never be short of paycheck. There'll never be one bounce. Amen. But he has the right to demand something.
Yes, he does. He sure does.
He has that right.
He does.
Don't you agree?
Yes,
he has that right. So, let's look and we'll start in Micah chapter 6. Let's see now. Remember now, required to demand, to ask as a right by authority. We require a person to do a thing, and we require a thing to be done. All right? Micah chapter 6, let's look at verse 8. Everybody ready? He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. That's what he says here. And he's having to say it like it's a question. He has showed them what is good and what the Lord requires. In other words, how come he ain't doing it? Huh? Well, what is it? Well, to start with, to do justly. What is that? What is to do justly? Well, how about, I've done some looking up, and now some of these ain't all my words, because they're a little bit fancy words, but it's, I think we can all understand it. It says to do justly is to exercise public judgment and justice as a king among his subjects. Well, I'm not no king, but my daddy yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh? That makes me a prince. Huh? That makes me royalty. I may not look like it tonight, but I'm royalty. And you may not look like it tonight, but if you're saved, you're royalty tonight. Huh? And we have subjects. We have people that we come in contact with. Huh? And we're to exercise public justice and judgment as a king among his subjects, to do private and personal justice between man and man. Now, what we're getting in is we're going to live like we supposed to with our people. It says to hurt no man's person. To hurt no man's person. Do justly. That's what we're preaching. Is everybody getting that? Yeah. To hurt no man's person. To hurt no man's property. To hurt no man's character. To give to everyone their due. And do as he would desire to be done by. Now this is what's required. This ain't suggested living. This is requirement. Okay? Not requirements to get saved, but it's requirements after I got saved. Alright? It says to hurt no man's person, property, or character, to give everyone their due and to do as he would desire to be done, which as it is agreeable to the law of God, so to the light of nature, and what is shown, required, and taught by. In other words, we're supposed to act like a Christian. It's required of me that I'm saved, then to act like a Christian. I'm to treat you right. I'm not to hurt your character. I'm not to talk about you or be mean to you or belittle you or down you. I'm to help you in every way and treat you what you think you need to be treated and how I would want to be treated.
Yes,
it's required of me to do that. It's not suggested that I do it, but it's demanded that I do it. For these are the things that I require of thee.
Right.
Huh? See, we're living now. When I say we, I'm talking about generalized Christianity. We live today like it don't matter how others are treated. We live today like it don't matter what we say about anybody. We can just say what we want and backbite and slander and gossip and surmise and do all this junk. There's a problem somewhere. We're not a very good employee, but we're not doing what's required. I wonder maybe if the Lord ought not fire us. Huh? We still okay? It gets better. It says, what the Lord requires of thee but to do justly and to love mercy. To love mercy. Not only to show mercy to miserable. Now this is what I found when I was looking things up. It says, not only to show mercy to miserable objects, but to persons in distress.
Right.
To relieve the poor and needy. To clothe the naked and feed the hungry. But to delight when you do it.
Yeah. That's good.
Huh?
That's good.
Everybody catch that? Can I read that again? It said to love mercy. It said, well, it's what's required of us tonight. It's required us for to do justly and to love mercy. Not only to show mercy to miserable objects. I love that. Not only to show mercy to miserable objects, but to persons in distress. Me and Cheryl was talking. We was talking about somebody today. All right, we were laying them out to the dog. No, we was talking about someone today, and we're concerned, and we're praying about them and praying for them. And I told Cheryl, I said, "Well, I said it's easy for us to say something negative and be judgmental. It is. Listen, I'm the world's worst. If you want a little class on sarcasm, I could probably teach you.
Amen.
I probably could. Okay. All right." But see, this person in a certain situation we don't live in that home, and it's not a Christian home, and there's a lot of past and a lot of things. And I said, when we look at people, we ought to understand that in all the conditions that I just named, that a strong Christian would have a hard time, but this person is weak. So they're going to have a harder time. So we need to understand that there's people in the church that we're brothers and sisters with that are in distress.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's true.
Everybody understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
They're in distress and they have a hard time mentally and harder time. Can I tell you, I know people that's living in situations that if I had to live in it, I don't know that I could come to church. I don't know if I got enough in me. I know some that come and do what they can. And they're crippled in their mind, crippled in their past, and they're still plugging along trying. They may not hit everything on exactly right, and they may not do everything either, but boy, they're doing better than I would do in the situation they're living in. Huh? And I believe I need to love mercy. Huh? I believe I'm required, huh, to love mercy, to relieve the poor and needy, to clothe the naked and feed the hungry, but to delight in such exercises. Be happy about it. Do it. Be happy about it. I was doing pretty good until I said I need to be happy about it. Huh? I can force myself to do it. I can force myself to be merciful. I can. I can force myself to help a little bit. Be happy about it? Huh? It's hard to force happiness. It's hard to put on being happy. Right? Be happy. Be happy. Huh? We all right? So we're just on that one verse. Now this is the first of the message. Then we got the middle of the message. Then we got the end of the message. Hang with me. We okay? See, it says, what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy? And then it says, to walk humbly with thy God as a creature, not as the Creator. I need to remember that I'm the creature. Everybody understand that tonight? We need to remember that we're the creature and have humility toward our Creator. Huh? That He's God, that He's the one that's perfect, that He's the one that's holy, that He's the one that's almighty. And it's not me and God, but it's God and me. It ain't Tom T. Hall's song, but me and Jesus got a good thing going. Huh? No. No, it's God and me. He's first tonight. Huh? He's higher than I am. Well, that's what's required there in that verse. What do you think? How are we batting right now? Huh? How are we batting? Let's think about it. Huh? Are we doing what's required? Are we doing justly? Huh? But that we do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. Huh? How about 1 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1215 in your Schofield Bible. I've always wanted to say that. First Corinthians chapter 4. Huh? How about verse 2? It says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Moreover, it's required. It's not suggested. It's demanded. It's a requirement. If you're not, then you're wrong.
Amen.
Ain't that simple? For it's required that a man be found faithful. Well, what is faithful? Well, firm in adherence to the truth. That's good. I thought that was good. Right out of dictionary. Firm in adherence to the truth and to the duties of religion. Well, I thought that was really good. Huh? How about firmly adhering to duty of true fidelity? Loyal. True to allegiance as a faithful subject. So now I find I'm supposed to be faithful in my belief, faithful in the truth. I'm required to be faithful to the truth of God. That means I ain't supposed to compromise it. That I'm not supposed to sidestep it. I'm supposed to be faithful to the truth. I'm not supposed to believe everything come down the pipe. I'm not supposed to take everything new that comes out of somewhere, but I'm to believe the truth of my King James Bible.
Amen.
All right? Everybody still all right?
Amen.
And then I'm supposed to be firmly adhering to duty. What my duties are. To do justly. To love mercy. Huh? I think we just went over that, didn't we, and Micah? Are we still alright?
Yeah.
Huh? True fidelity. Loyal. True to allegiance. Anybody here ever lost a friend? Hold down if you ever lost a friend. How come? How come you ain't loyal? How come we ain't loyal? I've lost them. How come I wasn't loyal? Yeah, but you don't know what they done. No, I'm supposed to be faithful. They don't have to be my friend, but I'm supposed to be there. They used to be my friend.
Good preaching.
They used to be my friend. Well, they're still supposed to be my friend. In other words, we ain't supposed to write off our allegiances.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, remember now, the first thing is true to that book.
Yeah.
Well, I ain't supposed to have no allegiances. I ain't true to that book.
Right.
Because I'm not supposed to be unequally yoked with unbeliever.
Right.
That's what Brother Rick taught us this morning. Everybody still running with me?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I thought today, I'd get ready to walk in the restaurant to get a bite of lunch, and I got to studying about required, and I sat there trying to eat lunch, and I'm studying about being things that's required of me. Huh? This ain't what I plan on preaching tonight. This is just one of them passing thoughts. Ain't you glad I had it? It says loyal, true allegiance as a faithful subject. Now wait a minute. There's one more. How about constant in performance of duties and services? Exact in attending to commands as a faithful servant. Wow. It says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Interesting name. How about Psalms 137? Psalms 137. Y'all okay with me?
Yes.
I'm just trying to tell you what's required. I'm a leader. They tell me I'm a leader. Right? So since I'm a leader, I'm section boss. I'm not superintendent or mine foreman. I'm just section boss. All right? So here's what's required. All right? Teddy, I want you to run a minor. I don't want you to run the buggy. I want you to run the miner. Hey, Matt, I want you to run the pinner. Where's old Reuben at? Reuben, you run the buggy. All right. Groundhog, you're going to shovel the belt. All right. All right. Dave, you're going to truck the coal without breakdowns. Now, that's what's required of you. That's what's required of you. Now, if you can't run the miner, we'll get somebody who can. All right? You just tend to the miner. That's what's required of you. All right? But now if a miner breaks down, go help Groundhog Shovel. You ain't going to sit by the miner. Okay? Hear that, Rube? If miner ain't running, that means the buggy ain't running. That means you grab a shovel and go help Groundhog. And if you get caught up, Matt, miner's still down, all the places are pinned, get you a shovel. There's always shoveling to be done. Because Dave's got to truck it. Got to get on back. Now, you say, well, what's all got to do with anything? I'm just telling people what they're required to do. Right?
Yeah.
And the Lord requires us the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, he does.
See, I'm not going to be a section boss of the mines and tell Ted and Ted, I don't want to run the miner. Then go home. Let's go home. We'll find somebody that can. There'll be some hungry guy come by and want a job running the miner. You know, I mean, honestly. I mean, it ought to be that simple. Yeah. I worked for Dave and I worked for Shane. They hired me to cut. They didn't want me on a piece of equipment. Neither one of them did. I can see Shane looking down over the hill, me having a dozer turned over. I'm standing up through the side of it. He's shaking his head. He'd rather me be on a chainsaw. That was enough keeping me in chainsaw. Okay. But that's what I was required. I didn't ask to run a dozer. I never asked to run a dozer, never asked to run a loader, never asked to run a skidder. Just give me my chainsaw. That's required of me. You understand? See, we ought to do what's required without arguing. We ought to do what's required without complaining. We ought to do what's required without looking about what everybody else is doing. Is this making sense to anybody? What's required? What's required? Psalms 137. You know, the Lord requires us of some things, and sometimes the world wants us out of something. Wants something out of us. Look here at Psalms 137. Start at verse 1. Said by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required us of a song. And they that wasted us required us of mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Sometimes the Lord lays it on the world. See, the Lord's in control of everything. And if you don't think he uses lost people, you got another thought coming. And can I tell you what he has the world require? Us a song. You got one? Sure you got one. For he has brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and established my goings, and has put a song in my mouth.
Amen.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
We got a song.
Amen.
Now sometimes the world wants to hear it because they're smart alecks. And they are saying to us, having a hard time, sing us one of them songs. Everything falling apart in your life, sing us one of them songs of Zion. Huh? Well, that would be bad if they had that attitude. But it says here, they didn't ask for a song till they saw the people hang their harp on a willow. Until they sat down and just wept over everything instead of rejoicing because of who they was. There wasn't a song required until they hung their harp on a willow. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
We need to get the harp down off the willow. And sing, I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary, and saved a wretch like me. Hey, are you understanding what I'm saying? We got the song. The world's watching us. And they're watching us being in captive in a strange land. And they're watching how we act and how we respond to everybody else. And if we hang our harp over on the willow and they know joy in our heart, can I tell you, they require a song.
Amen.
And I think we ought to give them one.
Amen.
I think we ought to give them one.
Amen.
Not there's a tear in my beer. No, victory in Jesus. That's what we ought to be singing. That's what's required. Think about that. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? How? Beulah land, I'm longing for you. Hey, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. See, I got the song in a strange land. I just need to get my harp off the willow, the weeping willow. Oh, bury me beneath the willow knee and weeping willow tree. But we can sing that old sire bluegrass, couldn't we? No! Get her harp off the willow, for they require a song from us tonight. The world is dark and dreary, and we say we're the light and we're supposed to be the light, and they want to hear a song. It's required. It's demanded. We all right?
Yes, sir.
We still all right? All right. Now you can start this slide. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3. It's going to go through till we get done preaching. So you got time to watch it and look at your Bible both here. Ezekiel chapter 3 verse 17 says, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman to the house of Israel. Where are we at? Ezekiel chapter 3 verse 17. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of my mouth. Give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. See, there's another requirement here. And the requirement here is that we be a witness. It's not a suggestion. The warning is not a suggestion. The warning to others that wicked, it don't say family, it says to those that are wicked. It matter not who they might be. If we don't give them a warning, then their blood's going to be required at our hands. And that means this. Thou shalt be answerable for him. His death shall be laid to thy charge. And thou shalt be chastised for thy negligence. Maybe the church is not suffering the persecution of the world, but we're suffering the sickness of chastisement. Because our mouth is stopped. Because we're not being persecuted for our testimony. But the church is plagued with illness. Right or wrong? The church is plagued with illness. The church is plagued with trouble. The church is plagued with things. We're unhappy. Our joy is gone. We're sick all the time. The church spends its time at the doctor's. I wonder if we're not being chastened for the negligence, because we're supposed to be the voice. This a thought. Just a thought. I wonder tonight, do we understand about the blood on our hands of not warning those who are lost? It's not if you get time. It's not after everything else is done. But it's a requirement. He's going to require the blood. Well, listen, if he's going to require the blood of those wicked, if he's going to require their blood and it's going to be on my hands, then I'm going to be required to warn them. Would that be correct?
Yes, sir.
See, tonight, that's our failure. It's not our weakness. It's our failure. It's not our weakness. Talking is not our weakness. There's many now. I'm not growling nobody. I don't have nobody in mind. But can I tell you, sometimes we're having church in Sunday school. People come in for preaching and they disrupt the spirit because of talking. Some can't get into the sanctuary when church starts because they're talking in the hallway. Nobody rushes home after church normally, for the parking lots are full of us talking. There's nothing wrong with talking. But talking's not our weakness. For we talk. And we mine coal and we cut timber and we shop at the shopping centers and we fish and we hunt and we ride our bikes and we play our ball games and we watch our TV and we watch our ball games on the TV. We know the stats of the players and we know who's in what thing going in for the championship, and we know how many's got to win and lose, and we know all that because we used to be gamblers and we gambled all that, so it's still on our mind and we keep up on it. But witnessing is our failure. It's not a weakness, it's a failure.
You're right.
It's something that we don't do, but yet we think about it. We see somebody lost, and the Holy Ghost will tell you, you ought to say something to them. Yeah, but they seen what I was doing there a while ago, and I ain't got that. They ain't going to believe that I say because what I was just doing. Well, don't do it.
Amen.
Yeah. See, it ain't a weakness. Everything anymore, it's a disease. It's a disease. Nowadays, ADD is a disease, right? I had that disease. And my medicine was a leather belt. And Daddy took to my backside and I got over ADD.
Amen.
They told Philip he had it. Well, we done what we could to beat it out of him. Ritalin, fluoride, chlorine. Disobedient. See, so we don't have diseases. We got sins. Any of these pictures interesting?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hmm? Any of these pictures interesting when it comes to witnessing? Mm-hmm. How many went out and eat today? Anybody go out and eat? How many give out tracts today? How come you didn't? Why didn't you? You ashamed of Mountain State Church? You ashamed of me?
No, sir.
Why didn't you? You didn't have to say a word. Just give them a tip with the track in. Well, I didn't think of it. Well, why didn't you think of it? Why didn't you? I'm just, listen. We've done been down this road too many times. We are not cows that we sit and chew the same old stuff over and over and over again. Somewhere we need to go ahead and digest it and go on. Everybody understand that?
Yes, sir.
But we don't. We'll come to church and go home and chew our cud. Wait till next week. Maybe it'll be different. Well, that's insanity.
Yes, sir.
If you're going to come and do the same thing, expect it to be different. Right?
You're right.
Listen, I'm not trying to be hard tonight. Not at all. I'm trying tonight to get us to understand that there's some things that's going to be required. Just leave that play. Luke 12:20. If you look in your Bible, just leave that play. Don't take it back off the wall. How about Luke 12:20? I'm about done. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Can I tell you that there's coming a time that the unrepentant are going to be out of time. Huh? And their soul's going to be required. Time up. Time's up. Time's up. Time's up. How about Luke chapter 12? Let me see here if I can find it here. Luke chapter 12, 43. Let's start there. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that steward say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he's not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. He that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For who unto whomsoever much is given, of him much shall much be what? And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Let me ask you tonight, what are we accountable for? How much do we know at Mountain State Baptist Church? How much have we been given at Mountain State Baptist Church? Have you grew any in the past 20 years? Huh? Have you been given anything since you've been coming? Have you made it a few steps up a little further since you've been a coming? Then you're required of everything that you've got. For where much is given, much is required. See, we've been told all the how-tos. We've got lessons. We've got lessons on soul winning. We've got lessons on visitation. We've done visitation. We've done mail-in visitation. We have counseling 3 days a week. Everybody has an opportunity for counseling 3 days a week. Sunday morning, Sunday school. Sunday morning preaching. Sunday night. That's four times. Sunday night and Wednesday night. There's not too many places offers four nights of counseling, four hours of counseling, or 5 hours of counseling a week. Yeah, free of charge. Free of charge. So we can get all your issues took care of, and we can get all your hang-ups unhung, and you know, we can get all that done, you know. We can do the anger management. Are you listening to me? I mean, that's what we've taught them down through the years. Loving everybody. Taught a lot on that, didn't we? Loving everybody. I mean, we've then been taught to pray. How long to pray. When to pray. Who to pray to. Remember all the series we taught on Lord Teach Us to Pray? Remember? Anybody remember that? Lord Teach Us to Pray. You know, the disciples never asked Teach Us to Preach, but He did say Teach Us to Pray. We've learned all that. We've read our Bible through. How many Bible readers banquet have we celebrated, Rick? I forgot. How many? I don't know. It's been a bunch. I don't know. It's been, let's see, 20, 21 years. Oh, well, I know we've done 15. So we've read our Bible through 15 times. We've had youth camp, Bible school. We went to places to learn. We've sent some of you to do seminars for young people to learn how to get them heathens in here. We've tried our best to show you how to run a bus. We've run the bus, taught you how to run a bus, and let you run the bus. Right? What are we required? How much is required of us now, you reckon? We listen to the greatest Sunday school teacher every Sunday. Teach us the Bible through and back through and back through. What is it? Is this the fifth time in Genesis? Third time that we're going through Genesis? Well, it's already different. It ain't wrong from the last time. It's just more. Huh? I'll never forget the first lesson. Remember the first series he taught? Is anybody here when Rick taught his first series? Remember when we went through Hebrews? I've never shouted so much in Sunday school in all my life. Read Hebrews for years and never realized how much was in Hebrews until Rick Childers taught me. But now I'm accountable. Now it's required of me. Is everybody understanding what I'm saying tonight? There are some things that's required. And the greatest need is getting people to come to Christ. See, everybody listen to me now. Technically, with my Bible and the Holy Spirit, I ought to be growing without any preaching or teaching. If I read my Bible and the Holy Spirit guides me, the Bible says He will teach me all things. He will guide me in all things. So I'll be able to spend my time winning others to Him. But that's not the way we do. We can't learn the things we've been taught. And we're doing it over and over again because we've took them as suggestions and not requirements. And we're mowing the same field every day. And ain't no hay on it. Does everybody understand the terminology? We're going to have to do what's required. Or there's going to be some things required we're not going to like. What do you think tonight? Can we look a little bit? I thought we were friends, but you said nothing. What if that'll ever be said? Bye to the children. We're going to take a couple minutes here. I'm done. But I want to see how this looks up here. Be all right if we just read it together. Many parents are leading their children to hell. Of course, now, I mean, that's not important. They're going to learn to play games and they're going to get to choose whether they're boy or girl. And, you know, as long as they're happy. But there'll be a finger somewhere that says, Mommy and Daddy, why didn't you tell me? There will be. There will be. It's going to happen. As sure as I'm standing here tonight, it's going to happen. You know? They see young people go to hell too. Young people go to hell too. Young people go to hell too. Isn't that amazing? We all right tonight? Yeah. There's no way out of hell. There's no way out. Listen, I'm trying to get us to see. I can't convict you. I can't convince you. But I can warn you. I can help you. I put all them pictures together last night from this morning's pictures, and I didn't sleep last night. Names and faces. Names off the list. Neighbors and people. See, I wish life had a rewind button, but it don't. I can't go back. But I can go forward. Everybody follow me. See, you said you loved me, but you said nothing. Are we getting it tonight? You said you loved me, but you didn't say a word. Is this the person you just saw today? You saw lost people today. The Lord will remind you of it when they're dead and gone. You'll go to piano. What's required tonight? How you fare? How you faring? How you faring tonight? Just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me. The invitation is just exactly the way I preach tonight. Are you doing what's required? Ain't no need worrying about extra if we're not doing what's required. I believe it's time we as a church come together and do what's required of a church, to do what's required of a Christian, to lay everything else aside and do what's required as a Christian. I believe it'll help us more than anything tonight. I'm not trying to be mean or ugly or stern, but I am trying to be very plain. that we do justly, that we love mercy, that we're faithful, that we give the world a song, that we witness before blood's required at our hands. Let's stand together. Sing this song.
It's 282.